What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Goodman H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Woo!
All right. Feels good
all
to
right,
be back.
Partner. Back on a Sunday again.
I know, making a bit of a habit of this. So, again, cards on the table.
The habit.
We'll be light on the clips in an effort to get this out in mere hours. But to be honest, it's my fault. And I'm going to, yet again, 10 seconds in, say the words, cards on the table. Because we are supposed to record two together. We record this one and we record Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes. I was like, why didn't we record on Thursday?
Yeah. And it came to Thursday and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing for this fire festival pod that I thought we were doing. Terry was like, we're doing Ant-Man. I was like, I have not watched Ant-Man. So, a bit of reshuffling. Yeah. Here we are. Terry, how the bloody hell have you been? Actually, don't answer that, Terry. Stop right there. You've had a haircut, I see. Let me see.
I have.
First, two questions. Why?
Sure.
Why and how dare you?
Well, why was because it was getting very mullety.
Yeah, Terry.
No.
For the record, it looks good. I like the cut. But, you know, I thought you were... I thought, oh my God, Terry's really going to do it. He's really going to push through.
I was going to, and I even had thought about like doing the whole growing the hair long and then shaving it for charity and doing the children's, is it hospital or whatever, you know, like for children.
You're asking the wrong bloke, mate.
Yeah, but you know, donating the hair to charity for wigs and stuff like that for like,
oh, right.
kids.
Literally donating.
Yeah, apparently it's a thing. So I was thinking about that and then I was like, you know what, when I was there queuing up to get my hair cut, I was like, just get rid of the sides and leave a bit of length on top. Now,
so it was a last minute call. You were just going to get
I was going to get it like
demulleted.
Yeah, like tidied up around the back and leave the length long. And then I was like, just three on the sides, back and sides. Let's go. Leave a bit of length on top. Now, he took off a little bit more than I wanted him to. But, you know, it'll grow. It'll grow back in.
Well, this is it.
The idea would be, like, get the volume, like, really high at the top.
And then shave it?
Like, no. Like, right. Keep it like a teddy boy or something, you know?
Yeah.
That'll be my new look for 2021.
It's kind of teddy boyish, I'll give you that.
Terry, bringing it back.
You inspired me to grow my hair again. I thought, well, Terry, if Terry's having long hair, I'm not going to be the short-haired friend. I'm the long-haired friend. So,
here's a look at it.
I have a long way to go. But if I only just kept going, remember it was long enough about 6 months ago.
You would
I'd be there.
Tying it up before I was tying it up.
I'd be there. I think about that all the time. I really do.
I turned on a Viber call with you or whatever and it was all gone.
I know.
You're a regular potato head again.
A regular short back and sides. Terry, listen.
How have you been?
Yes, I've been very well. Not really. Yeah, okay.
Before you ask, Andy,
I'm feeling
very Christmassy. I don't know if you can see.
I appreciate your Christmas jumper. Very nice. Oh, hold on. There's something. Your mic is blocking it. Is that Sonic the Hedgehog?
It surely is. And he's doing the whole, whatever it is.
His trademark finger wag.
Yeah.
But it's an 8-bit Sonic as well.
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Got it online somewhere. I got it a couple of years ago. And I was digging through for a cozy jumper today because I know what it's like in Wicklow, but Jesus, it's
freezing.
Baltic up here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was digging around and I said, oh, I had my Adventure Time Christmas jumper and then I saw the old Sonic one that I had from a few years
Brilliant.
Back. So,
Big fan. What are you drinking
I'm feeling Christmassy and in the spirit, I went out and I got myself a Hope Winter seasonal Hope. Red ale.
Hope.
Red IPA.
Okay. Great. Yes.
So I never tried it before, so we're in for, you know, some shenanigans, I'm sure.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your lily white butts.
We'll just, Terry's just pouring it here, just for those, for everyone in fact who can't see this. He's pouring his Hope IPA. And let's hope he gets the job done a bit quicker, am I right, everyone?
It's got, I don't know what it is that is like sunbathing in the snow. Can you make out what that is?
It's like a elf? I don't know.
Kind of looks like a nut.
Just drink it.
Okay. Well.
Come on. It's written all over your face. Put it down and get a glass of milk.
I don't know what to make of it.
I could see it in your eyes. I could see it in your eyes when you drank it. No, I can see it. I can tell. When you gulp, your eyes do a little movement. I know you don't like it. Stop bullshitting a bullshitter, Terry. Put it down.
It's not terrible.
Tell your face, Terry, because it's written all over it.
It's not one that I would have to be like, I can't drink any more of that. Like the fucking Thumper or whatever it was, where I literally had to go and get another beer from the fridge.
That's what I'm in this but for, this IPA stuff.
Yeah, you want that.
I want
you
that. Want, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the reaction on it.
It's okay. You know, it's okay.
Okay. So in real world terms, it's awful, folks. Terry's being too generous to these IPAs.
I mean, if I had it in a pub, I'd be like, all right. And then by the time I finish my first one, I'd probably be like, maybe I'll try another one just to see.
Yeah, and then never go back to it again.
And then you're like pot committed. Okay, your third one, fine. Like, before you know it, at 6 a.m, you're in your underwear.
It's like I was in another family's living room and they would not stop
screaming.
Anyway.
I was only watching him in an episode of Curb the other night.
Ah, very nice. He's great.
Joey likes the peppers, huh?
He's a great voice actor as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, what was I talking about before? Being so
rudely interrupted you.
What was going on? Nothing much. I had a very stressful, you know when you have a big thing coming up and you're like, oh, and you're enjoying yourself in the few days beforehand and then it pops into your head and you're like, oh, I'm sad now. so
this looming cloud of ass.
Yes. And we had this, we were putting on this, it was like a virtual like celebration thing for like Trinity College. And for whatever reason, in the pretest, the mic kept dropping on Zoom and we couldn't figure out why. And it was just happening at random and all this. So we were freaked out that it was going to happen on the live thing. So it was just stress and just a lot of thinking about it and just hoping and trying to fix it and all this. It ended up going off without a hitch, if I may say. Got a few of my own little edited videos in there, which everybody loved. So it was a massive success. So I'm feeling great now after that, to be honest.
Cool.
You're not giving it to me. But that's literally
what the listeners tune in for anyway.
That's all that's been going on. I haven't been thinking about
what
anything
have you
else.
Been watching?
Nothing.
What have you been playing?
Red.
Come on.
All right, fine. Red Dead Redemption I've been playing. All right.
Where are you in Red Dead?
I don't quite know where I am, to be honest. I keep getting in trouble.
Like the
I'm trying.
That's the point of the game.
I'm trying to. I end up just milling my horse into someone passing, and then I end up in a gunfight with 10 people.
You, sir. Yeah, you, sir. Yeah. I saw that.
Or I accidentally take out my gun and fire just at the sky, and then everyone takes out their guns and start. Like, I'm terrible at video games.
What town are you in?
Valentine, I think. Or Strawberry.
Oh.
Very startling.
Okay. All right, okay.
But, yeah. It's been great.
So far to go. It's so fun.
I know. I've been loving it. I robbed the train and all that sort of stuff. That was cool.
That was good.
It's just great. I would probably rather just spend it just going around on the horse, just seeing, like, it's so open. You can just literally go up to anyone, start anything with anyone, like good or bad, go check out any house, any, like, there's just something everywhere you look. It's the perfect next game after The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, which is open world, but not really open world. Yeah. Whereas this is like completely open world. Yeah,
it's great.
Like, you can just spend your time hunting animals.
Yeah, and I only just learned today that that's probably what I should be doing to make money and sell them on. I'm like, how the fuck do you make money? Because these missions aren't giving me nothing. Yeah, wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Or the meat. You sell the meat.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm finally getting my bearings with it now. Now the sea is parted after this very stressful week, and now I can see it for what it is.
I tell you, it's a great game to play around the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, so I got it, would have been 2 years ago, two Christmases ago, around that, and like I spent loads of time just being like, oh, I'm gonna play my game for a little bit, like, and stay up till like 2 in the morning.
5 hours. Yeah.
This is pre baby, like, so, you know.
I did think it was funny. I was listening to Tony's podcast where he's like, he's saying that his wife would go out with the baby and say, you know, the place is yours for an hour. Like, you know, go and play your game. He's like, and that's great. Really, it is. But what I really need is 8 hours to play the game. Like, I don't want just 1 hour. As nice as a gesture as that is.
Like, why don't you go for the weekend? Yeah. You know, like,
treat yourself. Yeah. But it's true.
I got you 2 tickets.
You're not coming? Yeah. No, I don't want to slow you down.
Bring the baby, though.
Take the baby. Make sure the baby is one of those ticket holders.
It's an around Ireland ferry. It takes 3 weeks.
And there's no getting off and no getting on. Anyway. Yeah. But that's literally all I've been doing. I've had a very quiet week with everything else. How about you, Terry? More importantly, how have you been getting?
Just been, you know, getting in the Christmas spirit. We got the old tree. The tree was looking a bit bare, so we got some extra stuff for the tree and put some decorations up. We put some lights out the front there today just to be like,
very nice.
By.
Now, what have you got? Yeah. Have you got the lights above the door, lights around the tree?
No, lights on the hedges.
Ooh.
So out the front. So when you walk by, our hedges will be blinking at you.
Oh, nice.
Little icy looking lights.
Very nice. Now, let me ask you a question, Terry, about your Christmas tree. Do you have all white lights or are you a coloured lightsman?
We are a coloured. We have those kind of like...
Delighted to hear it, Terry. I am also a coloured man.
This is my favourite kind of bar light. You know, you go downstairs in some fucking...
Yes.
Like Brussels used to be or something, and they have those like blue, green, red lights above the bar. You're like, hell yeah, I'm home. It's a fucking scum pit. You guys will fucking love it.
When I said that in work a couple of years ago, everyone thought like coloured lights was like real tacky. Everyone, now they were all Southside girls, nothing against Southsiders, but they all had white
everything
lights.
Against Southsiders.
They all had white lights and they thought that coloured lights was a bit whatever. I was like, you are joking.
I resent the fact that your brother lives on the Southside actually now.
Does he?
He's crossed over.
What can you do?
One of them. Well, you're the ultimate Southsider. You've gone so Southside, you've gone outside the county.
I'm off the grid.
Still on the other side of the Liffey, pal.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say, so...
so leave it there.
This is it. Once it stays dry, that's the main thing.
I've been watching some stuff anyway.
Tell me.
I've been watching a bit of comedy. All right, I meant to bring this up last week.
Go on.
But I've been watching a little show called Ted Lasso. Have you heard of it?
I have not. Humor me, please.
It's, you know, Jason Sudeikis from the Angry Birds movie. Your beloved.
Of course, of Angry Birds fame.
So he did an ad. I don't know if you remember. He did an ad a few years ago where he was like an American, like... football coach that took over Spurs was the ad.
Oh.
And he's like, it's like, oh, y'all play halves here, not quarters or whatever, you know, like that's the whole thing. Yeah. So they actually made a show out of that character.
Oh, brilliant. Based off that original sketch with the Spurs team.
Yeah. And it was an ad. It was an ad for like fucking MasterCard or something like that. But he conceived the sketch to go into the ad, I think.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So like they've made a show on it and it's like he is an American football coach that's been hired to come coach Richmond FC, a Premier League football club, if you would believe that. But anyway, the reason he got hired is that, like, the woman who is the chairman has recently divorced the actual owner, so she got that in the divorce, and she hates him so much she's trying to tank the football team.
Right.
So she's bringing in Ted Lasso, this guy who knows nothing about soccer.
And is this a series or a movie?
It's a series, yeah, and it's like 10 episodes. It's on Apple TV Plus. Now, don't ask me how I watched it, because I'll have to tell you off mic.
Tell me on mic, Terry.
Yeah. Oh, let's just say your co-host has his ways.
Like what? All right, I got nothing.
Yeah, but it's, you know what? It's a surprisingly sweet show that, it's really refreshing that, not all the characters, some of the characters are cynical, but he is such a earnest guy that's right. He makes everybody around him a believer in the Lasso way, because he's such a good natured character. And I'm just sitting there watching, man, in this year, again, I keep referring back to how shitty the year has been, but I'm I need something like this. I need just a nice
good,
show.
Good natured.
Oh, 100%.
The opposite of social media, say.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been on Twitter more this year than I've ever had before. Yeah. So now I'm God. Yeah.
The world has gone to shit.
It's a breath of fresh air. And he's really good in it. And it is genuinely funny.
I do like Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. And it's nice to see him see him in things. He's always been good in whatever he's been in, but I'm when was the last thing he was in?
Schmitty or Smitty from
And Sunny. Even that's fucking great. He's good in that. You know what I also filled the hole that I didn't realize was missing in my life was that Dream Team shaped hole. You know, remember Dream Team?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's obviously Dream Team was heightened soap opera, but the idea of a football team that in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to be watching it for,
it's always such a novelty to see soccer on in mainstream whatever movies or series.
Yeah, and they do, I think it must be a BBC production as well, because the whole thing is he doesn't have a clue about it. He has his coach that's with him that has read all the books on it and stuff like that, but he's his thing is he's a man motivator.
It almost sounds like a Will Ferrell sort of role, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Will Ferrell I don't think could pull off
he's not warm enough.
And he's too silly, you know.
Yeah,
this guy has the right amount of silly.
Fair enough.
There's a whole thing where it's the ex-husband, he wins over the chairman, but the ex-husband starts showing up, and the ex-husband's a piece of shit, but everybody loves him, but he's the only one that's on the ex-wife's side, that kind of way.
I tell you, this show sounds like one of those. I already know what type of show it is, almost. You know what I mean? It's that sort of correct me if I'm wrong now, but I'm getting a very sort of SNL vibe.
No,
from
not
it.
Even.
You know what I mean?
No, not even. Okay, fine. It's again less cynical than SNL.
Give
it's,
it.
It's apparently it's Apple's biggest show, and it's been renewed for season 3 already because it's been such a smash hit.
Give me a rating, Terry.
Out of 5?
I'm never going to see it, but the other people might give us a rating. Because rating out of 10, Terry.
8.
Oh, okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks. What's it called?
Yeah. Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. On Apple TV.
Apple TV Plus.
So, even less accessible.
I've also, something that is accessible is I've been watching Big Mouth season 4, dropped on Friday. I've watched the first few episodes.
I
kind of
fell off that.
So good. Is it? It's such a fucking good show. I think you'd love it as well.
I absolutely love season 1. I don't know why I kind of amn't watching it now, but I did. Well, I wouldn't say I absolutely loved it, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it's really good. And again, they do the fine line of like gross humor that's really smart, but also like heart there as well. You care about the characters as they go along. Like
it's kind of one of those, like, there's a few shows like that on Netflix, like Archer, BoJack Horseman, Big Mouth, all these shows that, like, I'm pretty sure if I really sat down and gave them a go again, like, I gave them all a bit of, actually, I gave them all a fair go, but, like,
I think Archer wouldn't be for you, just because I know you.
Right.
Like, I don't think Archer.
What does that mean?
But, like, like, was I talking to you, Pinhead? But BoJack, I think, BoJack, because with BoJack, it sort of becomes a drama at times, a straight up drama, like, as funny as it is.
I think that's what lost me, to be honest.
It gets, because it's, like, quite heavy.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that's actually bringing me back a bit to complaining about the show the last time, where I'm like, what is this? What am I watching here? I can't remember what it was, just being my usual. You're watching
the greatest show in Netflix history, my friend. Produced.
Anything else been going on with you?
Another TV show I watched was a little thing called Dave. It's about a Jewish guy who wants to be a rapper.
His
name is like Little Dicky, and he like that's his rapping persona, and he's like it's a satirical thing, like, but his raps are all about like how small his dick is and stuff like that, like. And everybody's like, they're not gonna take you seriously as a rapper, man. But then there actually is a scene, I think it's the first episode, where like you never hear him rap, and he won't rap in front of his girlfriend. And then
what is this movie?
It's a TV show.
Oh, okay.
It's a TV show. But like at the end of the episode, he like he's in the studio, and like some rapper has him on his Instagram live, and he does a 3-minute rap, but like it's filmed in all one thing, and like you see this guy who's like, he's just the prototypical Jew, like, you know, like looks like an Orthodox Jew.
Almost, okay, yeah. I was going to go into examples, but I pulled it back.
But like he then spits this amazing rap, and you're like, holy shit, like this, like
on Netflix?
Nope, it's on what FX.
Come on, no one has access to these shows.
Doesn't matter. It's on, good.
Now, if you happen to go down the to the black market, there I am, on the edge of town. You can get a box off a guy named Phil, and he'll hook you up with some real great Indian quality. Like it's like you've got this whole, like, I don't know how you get access to them.
Well, I told you, I've given you.
Tell me specifically.
I've sent it to you in a mail.
I can't watch it on... Okay, in a mail, fine. I was going to say, I can't watch it on my phone.
No, in a WhatsApp. In a WhatsApp, I've sent it to you.
Okay.
I told you to download the app.
Yeah.
That will not go named, and I will stop from incriminating myself any further. We also watched In Bruges last night. How about that?
Okay, good. Good movie. Damn good movie.
Great. I was watching it, and like it's so funny, and you know, but it's also like so... kind of sad at times.
Yeah.
But I was actually in awe of the screenplay last night, that like everything that's set up in it is knocked down. Like every pin that they set up in the film.
Yeah.
Is not like comes back around.
Yeah.
And like even the whole loose thing ends. Where he goes, it's like Brendan Gleeson is like, it's fiver to get it up to the tower, and he's like 460, 470, 480. You take 490? And your man is like €5 in, and he's like, that's only 10 cent, man. And he's like, your man won't let him in. And then it's like he has all that change in his pocket, and it, like, spoilers, or no, it's not, but for his last scene when he's sprinkling the change off the tower, like that's that 490 that he had in his pocket from earlier on. And I was like, oh, of course. Nice. Like,
it's everything, like, wrapping up in a neat little package there.
That's just like one instance of it. But now, it's
is brilliant. In Bruges an Irish movie? Would that be classed an Irish movie?
I would class it as an Irish movie because it's written and directed by an Irishman, stars two Irishmen.
Yeah, you
know.
Right?
But it's probably like a British production.
Yeah,
maybe, like, you know. I would say it's an Irish. In my heart, it's Irish.
I'm claiming it. Lord knows they claim enough off us, so I'm claiming that one back.
I'm just waiting for the Katie Taylor, you know, they're claiming her as Britain's best boxer, you know.
They haven't actually done that, have they?
No, but I'm waiting.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Well, I'm waiting for Andy.
Speaking of Irish movies, I'll tell you a movie that I would really love to see again is your mate's movie, Intermission.
Intermission, yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm going to watch it over Christmas.
I haven't seen that in so long, and I quote it so much, but I actually haven't seen it in forever. I wonder if it still holds up as a good movie.
Deirdre, come here, I've got something to show you. like the cheer,
It's the amount of mans in it. I think I certainly started saying man more after watching Intermission.
Yeah, well, that's very natural, you know.
Yeah,
man.
All right, man. It's wanking like a madman, man.
We were watching something. Oh, we were watching The Crown. That's what it was. The Crown, and your man, what's Cillian Murphy's character in it?
In The Crown? Or in
Intermission? No, in Intermission. Oscar and Felix, isn't it?
Yeah. Oscar.
Yeah. So I guess is it no, it's not Felix. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever his mate was, it was in The Crown. And I was like, who is this guy? And I couldn't think of rages. Then I turned to Faye, I've got it. She's like, what? She wasn't even paying attention to me, just in the corner.
Wasn't even trying to figure it out. I've got it.
She's like, what? And I turned to her, I was like, fucking granny she is.
Oh, a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, Terry, listen. Can I please can I talk to you about something for a sec? All seriousness.
Sure. All serious. All joking aside.
I genuinely need to talk to you about something. I need to talk to you about the 12th episode of The Simpsons 7th season, Team Homer.
Mm.
Which aired on the Fox Network in the United States on January 7, 1996, Terry. Written by our pal, personal friend of the show, Mike Scully, who was bowling a lot at the time.
That's where it's come from, the impotence. I was bowling a lot.
I bowl. It was directed by Mark Kirkland, and when Kirkland first read the script, he said he thought that it would be quite a challenging episode because the bowling theme had already been covered in the season one episode, Life in the Fast Lane, with Jacques. So
our friend Albert Brooks plays Jacques.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Throw, damn you.
Throw them.
Kirkland and his team of the Simpson animators all went over to a local bowling alley and had lunch, and they inspected the whole alley for inspiration and drew sketches, because they basically wanted it to look really good so it stood out from the first one.
Yeah, and he was also, you kind of forget that Homer was working in the bowling alley as well.
Yeah, actually, I did forget about that. And then in this episode, it also features people who tried to break up, not tried to break up their marriage, but potentially.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, you've got Jacques, you've got in non-speaking roles, Mindy, Lurline, and Princess Cashmere.
Princess April. Oh, Cashmere. That's it.
And what else have we got? Merkin remembered the episode very fondly because when it was finished, the staff received customized Simpson bowling balls, bowling bags, and pin pal shirts as gifts. And Scully said the bowling balls were really cool because they were yellow and had the Simpsons logo on them. Didn't need to read that part, but now. Doris Grau, script supervisor for the show and voice of Lunch Lady Doris, died.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, she died on December 30th, 1995 from respiratory failure. And Team Homer was one of the last episodes to feature her voice and included a dedication to her.
Has she never been around since then?
I don't think so. And I never really thought of it.
Has there been?
I don't know. That's what I said. Wikipedia says it.
Hmm.
So, you know. Now, I thought this was interesting. This is my last little bit of trivia, so bear with me here, right? When Homer tells Marge that we were so close to winning the championship, now thanks to Burns, it's never going to happen, and I spent so much time building that trophy case, and the case has the Academy Award that Homer has. In the original broadcast, the name on the Academy Award was Hang S. N'Gore. I don't know who that is. But in American syndication, the name was changed because N'Gore, who won the Academy Award, was murdered on February 25th, 1996, So the producers were concerned that the syndicated episode would imply that Homer had murdered him to steal the statue. So they went and changed the name. Probably a good move, to be honest.
Pre-empty. You know who changed it to?
I can't remember. What was it?
Don Amici.
Who is that?
He is the guy who... Did you ever see Trading Places?
You know what? I have not.
Oh.
I know. It's been a while since I pulled one of those on you.
Well, he played one of the people in that movie.
Okay.
He played one of the brothers that set up the whole Trading Places experiment.
Don't ruin it for me, Terry. I haven't seen it yet.
This is the plot. The plot is these two brothers who run a trading floor or whatever.
Places.
Dan Aykroyd is their main trader, and they make a bet, a $1 bet, that like if they took in, say, Eddie Murphy, who's a street beggar,
right,
and like gave him the life that Dan Aykroyd had and took everything away from Dan Aykroyd, you know, that's what would happen. Dan Aykroyd would become a bum and Eddie Murphy would become successful.
Man, Dan Aykroyd was in some really great movies back in the 80s.
Man, that movie, and I think it's a Christmas movie as well. It's fucking
I must watch that one.
It's really, really, really good. I think it's Eddie Murphy's first movie as well. He's like 22 in it and he's fucking brilliant.
Would you say it's Eddie Murphy's best movie?
I think I'm in the minority when I say Eddie Murphy's best movie is Bowfinger.
Oh, very nice.
I think I'm in the minority. I just love that movie.
Bowfinger is great. I love Bowfinger.
Yeah, he's great. Steve Martin is great in it. Like, you know,
I'm gonna give it to him in Life.
Oh boy,
got a problem with Life?
Yeah, it's too. You're talking about being a long movie.
It is long. But you can't say that. You invented this long movie concept practically.
But I like a long movie when it's fucking good. Life, like that movie.
The two of them.
Yeah, they're great.
You could have cut a half an hour out of it. I'll give you that.
You could have cut 45 minutes out of it.
It's quite like of its time. Like you can tell it was made in like the late 90s. You know what I mean?
It's a pure vanity project for the two of them.
Yeah, basically. Eddie Murphy's last R-rated movie, you know.
Hmm.
So
that can't be right. Surely Dolomite was R-rated.
Oh, I guess after that, yeah. But I think when I've been spurning out that stat for so long, I think he's made more movies since I started. Anyway, listen, Terry.
Can we get into your notes?
Yes.
Tonight? Come on, hit me.
Right. My first note is just now. I don't know if I'm already.
Oh wait, sorry. Just looking at Doris, lunch lady Doris. After Team Homer, she became a silent background character until season 18.
Oh, I never knew that.
Anyway, sorry, cut across you there.
That's all right. Anyway, what's my first note? Sorry, I'm responding to a text there.
Unfucking believable.
The first note, but I can't remember what I was quoting, was just "you fold it, you bought it." Oh, the Mad Magazine.
You fold it, you bought it.
Straight away, I'm like, were you ever exposed to Mad Magazine or
no?
Have any? It seems like such a big thing for Americans, like when they're talking about whatever the 70s and the 80s of like, oh, Mad Magazine or Mad TV, and it seems to be such lauded. Like I've never seen really a second of it, I don't think.
It's not over here, like, you know, it doesn't travel over here.
No, doesn't look like it does, to be honest. But I just love
it's an American institution though.
Yeah, by all accounts. And Homer is like taking a page out of this book where he's just going to Marge, and I finally got where, I mean, I knew you Claude was from something, but where he's like, no, I want roast beef. I
love it.
You Claude. I love that word.
Marge is just again like the long suffering wife. She's like, okay, whatever, like what's he up to now?
I know. But the Mo, I guess, is in the bar then, and when just the scene, it's just the timing of it where
so
he's like,
good.
I was like, time to close up, and then I know I am going to drink you under the
The other person that Quimby is with is also like JFK.
Oh, know, really?
Like, well, it's just the same voice. I ain't gonna drink you out on the table. It's like, oh, okay.
What else have I got here? When they get to the bowling alley, like, it is very beautifully, not beautifully drawn. That's an exaggeration, but it's very pleasing. It's well drawn on the eye. And it reminded me that I bloody love bowling. I love the sound of the pins. I love the sound of the rolling ball. I love it all. Big fan.
Were you a fan of Kingpin, the movie?
I don't know it well enough to say yes, to be honest.
That'd be another one. Like, I'll make you some, like, that's a movie that's on over Christmas. There's no way a Christmas movie, but that would be like a 12 o'clock Tuesday night over Christmas on RT2 job, like, you know? And it's definitely worth, it's very funny.
You see, it always struck me as the lesser between that and The Big Lebowski. Part of me feels like I would like Kingpin more. Even though
100% you would.
Really?
Like, it's like more comedy with a capital K.
Nice.
Then Big Lebowski is like more subtle
with a lowercase C.
Yeah, like Big Lebowski stuff, it's like Jeff Bridges will just be like, you know, spouting nonsense at times, and you're like, when you think about what he said, like, that's fucking really clever, really funny.
Yeah.
Whereas in like Kingpin, it's like,
it's almost more like, not shock, but like, it's more like, you less have to think about it.
It's a Farrelly Brothers movie, so, you know, there's gonna be like these like set pieces. There's a scene where Woody Harrelson, first of all, he's in like a fat suit, or he has like a fake belly, and like, he's, you know, they make his hair look awful when he's like fighting with the really hot woman in it, and like, there's a scene where he's like punching her in the boobs, and the boobs are like, like, you know, like, so you know what you're gonna get.
Definitely like this movie more.
It's so good though. Like, you get Bill Murray just ad-libbing his way through the film, and brilliant. It's just,
I definitely want to watch that, actually.
Yeah, do that. I'll make you a list for Christmas.
Please do. Yeah, that'd be great.
100%.
Yeah. But specifically of those kind of movies, please.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Yeah. When you get, like, they want a bowl, but they can't because it's whatever team night.
League night.
And I just love Mo's reaction when he can't play, where he's just like, some pimply little puke. Yeah. What does he say?
He's like, you go through life, you do things right, you resist the urge to punch people in the face, and for what? Some pimply little puke, I tell you. He's like, to treat you like dirt unless you're on some sort of team. Well, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, not that kind of fancy store-bought dirt. I can't compete with that. But, you know.
That stuff is loaded with nutrients. It's just, I love the fact already in this episode that it's like, okay, great, we're getting Mo on board early here.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and I was thinking about this, like, the team you're going to assemble, like, they put a poo in, and I'm like, yeah,
it's kind of just, you know, like a Homer and Moe episode in a way, because like the like, other coming and going characters don't really offer, obviously, except Burns, but like, it's really Moe and Homer is giving me the comedy there.
Like, who would you put in there instead of a poo? And I know they're trying to pick, like, they're trying to pick people from different, like, that they don't normally interact with.
Yeah,
like a poo and Moe never really.
I'd have Homer and Moe. I would have Principal Skinner.
Yeah, okay, now you're talking.
Principal Skinner. And I would have, maybe Fat Tony.
I don't know, because, see, when you put Fat Tony in, it's kind of like, he would just be like, oh, we didn't win. Don't worry, I'll sort this out, or whatever. Like, you
okay,
know,
I retract that.
That
then.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
I retract it. Let me hit you again. I will hit you with a Hank Scorpio.
No.
Why not?
That's wrong. Fit him
into
the
story.
How
great would he be? He'd be like, Homer, that was an amazing shot. You know?
But you He'd can't put like, him in there. Yeah, you can't put Hank Scorpio
why
in
can't
there.
I can do what I want. I'm the co-host of this podcast. I can say whatever I like on here.
Okay, well, look, if I'm producing this episode, I'm like, go back to your cubby and rewrite that. I'm not taking Hank's
Claude. Who's on your? Who makes your team then? Smart guy. Tough guy.
Oh, okay. Don't smart after me, smart guy.
All right, Mr. Comedian.
I'm going to call you a bear.
Who makes your team?
Okay. I can't put Smithers in there. Smithers would have been my one of my go-tos. Because with Burnsy coming back later, you can't have him in there. So I'll witch on Skinner. So we'll say Mo, Skinner, Homer.
And who else?
Yeah, that elusive fourth spot.
Kirk Van Outen.
Maybe.
That's the closest one so far.
I'm almost there with you. we can't go Flanders. We can't go Lovejoy because they're going to be in it later on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Wiggum? I was thinking Wiggum, but then you kind of lose out on that great joke.
Yeah,
later on. I'm trying to think of people that aren't already in the episode.
I don't know.
Like,
not so easy, is it?
Maybe Willie.
I don't know if I'd want to see Willie in there. Willie,
why not?
Willie's
actually though he's too close to Skinner. That's what I mean.
Isn't he also in a different team? He's on the stereotypes. Yeah.
But you could take him out of the stereotypes fairly easily. Like,
oh well, now we're moving pieces all over the place here. Now who's going to take that place? Fat Tony.
Or a poo in the stereotype. Yeah, there you go.
Or a poo. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Comic book guy would be a good one. I think. You know.
Interesting. I could see him there.
Yeah. You know.
I could see him being very derogatory to the other players when they don't get a strike. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like, please, take the game. I don't want it.
Okay. I'm going to go with comic book guy.
Okay.
Because he looks like he would be at a bowling alley.
A classic bowling alley.
He'd be eating like one of those fucking shitty hot dogs and like...
yeah. His t-shirt would be sort of coming up over his belly.
His Pin Pals t-shirt.
Then... I don't know why, but the line "Come on, Lobsty" for some reason made me chuckle.
That long-haired freak's been bowling with us for years,
and I love the running gag of that where he's like, he's just looking, he's constantly at that machine. He's like, once I get that Harvard diploma,
I did like that where he's like, I'm tired of being a wannabe league bowler. I want to be a league bowler.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the light bulb goes off over his head.
And so what? First, he tries to
ask Marge
to pay $500 for sex.
It was never in the original airing.
It seems a bit jarring to me now. Yeah,
it was never in it. Like,
I
love how it was animated though.
The window like silhouette thing, really nice. Yeah, really nice. I like that.
And then I did like how we're. She's like, I don't have that kind of money to spend on sex. And he's like, maybe Mr. Burns could sponsor your team. He's like, oh, he never gives me money. Just last week I asked him for $1,500.
Yeah, what for?
Oh, I've got to get a third degree from you now too.
Like, I'd love to see that incident where Homer is offended that Mr. Burns even asks him what for.
And like, what is he looking to do with the $1,500 as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it like...
And then you get the Bart unveiling the, what does it say? Down with homework. He unveils the t-shirt.
Oh boy.
And he's wearing like such an unnatural like turtleneck jumper. It's like, oh boy, is it hot in here?
You know what, Andy? Yeah. We couldn't take Skinner. We can't take Skinner for the bowling team because he has his own whole thing in this episode that I completely forgot about. That's so good. You couldn't take him out of it. Because the whole him and Chalmers down with homework subplot, like,
I think we should just give it to Lenny and Carl, to be honest.
Wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be bad choices.
Because then you got just Homer, Moe, Lenny and Carl. You know they're going to all be funny. But they're not in use.
Maybe Barney. If we take out Skinner and put Barney in there. I'd rather Barney than Lenny and Carl.
See, I'd rather Lenny and Carl than Barney. Barney's Barney. Barney's a bit one note, if you don't mind me saying.
How very dare you.
But the reaction when
I tell you, no, you know what? Let's not even put Barney in there. We're gonna go with what the fuck's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Herman.
Herman. Yeah.
One-armed Herman.
Yeah, I feel like he'd be underhanded too, though.
Why? Yeah, like that's the whole thing. Gives him a bit of an edge. Like,
he'd be putting razor blades in the bowling ball holes. Yeah, like, just, he'd be doing something proper over the line.
See what's so funny out here.
But the reaction of the kids when Bart takes off the t-shirt, like, I love the like dusting the erasers in the teacher's face, like the desk being tipped over and just going up in flames straight away. Like, it's brilliant, really well done.
Yeah, and the shirt makes a good point. And the Chalmers, where he's like,
you're already laughing.
Yeah, he's like, I am going to give this school a perfect 10. Now I'll just write the 0 first. And now a vertical line to indicate the 1. And then just like the kids run crazy. Like,
I love the fact that he keeps talking as they're running on his head. Like, why are there children running on?
Oh.
They really use Chalmers in the best possible way in this. Like, it's instant comedy anytime there's a big disruption in the school to have Superintendent Chalmers there. Like, it just adds to it.
Like, and have him be like so composed and be like, you know what, Seymour, I finally come around to, you know, you've done a good job. And then like an explosion or something.
Like, this is it. The moment Skinner's finally been waiting for it.
But like, it's the same gag they've been doing for years. It was the same one with the tractor.
Yeah,
like, oh look, a penny, like, you know, it's almost that whole thing. It's the every time, like,
it's almost like sketch comedy in the sense that like you're going for the same kind of beat, but you're just going for a different setup,
and it's, different variations. Yeah, but like, the punchline exactly doesn't change. Like,
as I was saying, my yearly evaluation couldn't have come at a better time.
Well, Seymour, I must say, for once, I am impressed. In fact, I am going to give this school a perfect 10. I'll just write the 0 first. Now a vertical line to indicate the 1. Dinner? Why are there children walking on my head?
Then what else have I got here?
When I did love the Skinner thing.
When he's saying, like, we meet again, Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
What was that?
That was a fart.
That was like a Mad Magazine fart. Yeah.
Brilliant. I hope it came out. Sorry, folks.
But when he was like basically saying, you know, the private took off his t-shirt.
So, we meet again, Mad Magazine.
How do you know it's for Mad?
The year was 1968. We were on recon in a steaming Mekong Delta. An overheated private removed his flak jacket, revealing a t-shirt with an iron-on sporting the Mad slogan, up with miniskirts. Well, we all had a good laugh, even though I didn't quite understand it. But our momentary lapse of concentration allowed Charlie to get the drop on us. I spent the next 3 years in a POW camp, forced to subsist on a thin stew made of fish, vegetables, prawns, coconut milk, and 4 kinds of rice. I came close to madness trying to find it here in the States, but they just can't get the spices right.
My punishment?
Hmm? Oh, I'm going to have to think about that. Meanwhile, wear this home.
I came close to madness trying to find it here in the States, but they just can't get the spices right.
I love it. And plus the fact that he's like up at miniskirts, he's like, well, we all had a good laugh, even though I didn't quite understand it.
And then like he's like, my punishment is like, oh yes, I'm thinking about that. Meanwhile, wear this home. It's just like the couch cover. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
And the idea of Burnsy with the ether as well, which is just something that, like, is the joke here that like he needs to be taking the ether because the emery board is too painful on his nails? He's that frail?
I think so. What is
that's so good?
What is the ether? Like what is that stuff? Like, what is that for?
It's like an anesthesia, I guess.
Right.
You know, that kind of like you take it to like numb your pain.
Oh, I get it.
So like he's like, I can still feel the emery board.
And then Homer comes in, and just the way he completely immediately changes, he's like, "Poppin' fridge."
You gluttonous little doughboy.
And Homer's reaction when he gets the money off him, he's like, he goes out to everyone, he's like,
I love the line reading.
He's like, if you want something from Burns, now's the time. He's doped up or dying or something.
It's that like, or dying or something.
And I love, like Hans Molman, of course, he's so earnest. He's like, for a new whatever broom rebristling,
$17.
Like, yeah, and he thinks he's a leprechaun, and you just hear the sound of the drill grinding. It's like, oh, my brain.
So he's dead.
So we're back at the bowling alley. The next note was a Bumblebee man. What,
thinking about this, all right, yeah. You don't need a Channel 6
no.
team. So you could take Krusty, Homer, Mo, and comic book guy.
Yeah.
I'd take that team.
Okay. I see your team. I'm going to stick with my original Lenny and Carl edition, but I feel like Lenny, Carl, Mo, and Homer would actually beat the team of Homer and Mo.
But the whole idea is that you're trying to get these disparate characters together, you know?
I'm sticking what works. Develop.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, this is why I don't watch season one of anything. I want the characters to be developed. I want them in their stride.
Okay, fine, cool. And if it worked, why didn't they pick the four of them to start a team together then? Why didn't they pick those four?
I don't know. I don't know. I know. Okay?
Yeah. The idea is you're trying to get use of these four characters from different places on the map in Springfield. Like,
okay. Okay.
Krusty that has no like overlap with anybody really.
Well, you know? Okay.
Mo and Homer are the only two. That's your starting point. Apu doesn't really interact with Mo that often, or Otto, really. Yeah, like, you know. So that's the whole thing. Like.
I do like that. Just even in this episode, with like the characters that they pull, I do like just having four, and it's kind of one of the first times that they've kind of done it where it's just four. Kind of completely different, like you said, characters
disparate.
All sort of coming together. Yeah, like you see it a lot more as the seasons go on, where there'd be a crazy episode involving like Jesus, involving like Mo and
Sari,
whoever. Anyway, when Bumblebee Man gets the strike and he's like, "Buenos noches," and Mo's like, "What do you say? What do you say? Is that about me?"
Okay, I always use that line. Okay. Was that about me? And I remember like saying it when I was in my early 20s at like, wasn't a house party, it was just a bunch of us getting together, get drunk and stoned.
Nice.
I never used to smoke back then. I would have it in like a yop.
Oh yes, brilliant.
Or a yogurt or whatever, the old days, you know.
That was amazing.
But I remember somebody like saying something, like I was joking and I was being like, what do you think, was that about me? Was that about me? I like saying this. And there was a guy there that was kind of outside of our circle of friends. Like, we knew him and he was sound bloke and all, but like, he didn't hang around with us. And then, like, apparently he said it to, like, the guy. He's like, Terry got real paranoid when he was smoking or whatever. And he, like...
Imagine being that guy. Like,
yeah.
What did he say? He's like, was that about me? That's what I'd be like by the end of the night in your house. Just like, huh? What? I was like, you're right there, Campbell. Huh? Like, huh? Yeah. Yep. T-Fan.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's what it was. My face had the color of milky tea. And so you just keep saying, tea, father.
Oh, brilliant. God. Brilliant. Oh, I remember when you had... The first time you were in my house and you had to make you're making tea. And the rule was always, if one person is making tea, you have to ask
for everyone.
Did it.
Oh my God. And I was so high when I was making that. I was like, I think I had to sit down at one point halfway through making it.
You sat down in the kitchen.
You're like, what are you doing? You're not making the tea. Like, yep, I just need to sit down for a sec. This standing and stirring is really taking it out of me.
We were outside playing like pro or WarioWare or something. I didn't even drink tea, but you were like, I'll just make it for myself. I was adamant, like, no, this is the rule. Yeah, this is the house rule. There were certain rules in the house. There was the closest rule.
What was the closest rule again?
The doorbell rang.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever was closest had to go get the doorbell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Closest rule applies.
Like, I don't think I was ever sitting close. I don't think I ever answered the door when there was a big group of us. No,
I think you always got that, like, that corner seat.
So it's usually the first one there. So I get in that nook. But, yeah. Great times.
Yeah. Really, we're wasting our lives.
Okay. Anyway, where are we?
Homer misses a strike, or is it Otto misses a strike? Yeah. Don't joke. Like, joke.
Well, that's a funny looking strike. And I love
Homer.
Yeah, Homer comes up with the chant that wins the game.
Yeah.
But, like, they...
Homo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Some of the singing in this was a little bit cringe, I will say, watching it again. I don't know why.
Why?
I know it's, like, supposed to be kind of, like, that sort of thing. But yeah, there was a few times where I was just like, that's just me being my cynical self.
Give me an instance.
I can't remember what it was. We'll get to it if it comes up.
Okay.
When they start celebrating, then your man's like, they're like spraying the beer over each other. He's like,
those beers are
$5 a piece. They just squeeze it off their clothes back in, and he happily accepts that.
I'm gonna sell it to the next person. No water.
And I love the scene where, and like, there's a lot of those like bedtime conversations between Homer and Marge in this, like. Every time Homer is updating Marge on what's going on with the bowling team, they're always in bed talking. But I love the way Marge is just lying there smiling, and Homer's like, so it's like, it was all down to this, Marge. And she's like, all right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, like she's just actually.
You know, like, yeah, I love it. Like.
And then the fact that she gets more and more impressed with Otto. Like,
it's the hardest shot in bowling.
I can't believe he picked up a 7-10 split. Hey, he's phenomenal.
Like, Otto, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I was the one who came up with the team. Me!
And like, she was fairly not impressed until she realised it was Otto who did it.
Yeah. I did love that, like, yeah, right? When he's like, let me set the scene for you. Yeah, right?
It was great. And then when you have the... where Skinner's like, a few days ago, a slogan was unveiled. Like, I can't remember what the exact line was.
It's like, a violent riot erupted inside of my inflammatory t-shirt slogan. Don't try to remember it.
I love that. Now, here's a question for you, because then they start modeling the uniforms now, which is funny, and it's fitting that it's one of Lunch Lady Doris's, I think, finest deliveries, where she's
screams,
like,
screams silence.
Yeah. Just screams silence. She's like, she'll have no trouble playing the blues in this ensemble.
Yeah.
But I used to love the idea of, when we were in school, of in Mount Temple, the school next to ours, they could wear their regular clothes and it was a mixed school.
Jerks.
Now, Did you ever think that that would be cool?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I was like, I fucking hate wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to wear jeans and a thing. But it does open the door to, like, that kid is poor, you know, like, or whatever.
Because I never really considered that as a kid, but you'd have to have something new and, you know, whatever, and ironed and looking good every day, I guess.
That's the thing.
The, like, uniform's great.
I remember going go-karting and I threw on a jumper that was, like, a little bit creased. And I think it was one of the people from your class. I think it might have been Nevy. Like, being like, nice job ironing that jumper or whatever. And I was like, classic. What? Like, with, like, a few crinkles in it, like... Like, first of all, you cut me deep there. But also, like, that's the kind of shite, like, we're coming up with. Like,
brilliant.
I hope you're listening, and I hope you feel terrible now, all right?
Unlikely. Highly unlikely. Yeah. On both counts. But I used to love that idea of, like,
it's mixed.
It's like an American high school. And they're just boys, girls. Like, but then, yeah, like, it would really...
I do think the idea of a mixed school is a lot more healthier for, like, development. Like, whereas With us, it was just like a bunch of fucking
animals.
Like, yeah, but like, you know, your hormones are all pent up. Everybody's trying to be the fucking alpha, like, at some point. Like, you know, it's just, it's a recipe for disaster. Like.
I'd say, yeah, there's a lot more aggro in all boys uniformed schools than...
But, like, even, I remember talking to Faye and, like, being like, all girls school is just, like, cattiness or whatever. You know, she's saying, like, you know, it's that kind of, again, it's the other side of the coin where it's, like, not a lot of, this sort of energy has to go somewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Although I kind of feel like if there was girls in my class that I wouldn't have done as well in school, if I'm being honest. I don't think so. I don't think I'd be so, like, I'd be less willing to look like a fool by asking a dumb question or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that, but anyway, moving on swiftly.
Well, you were quite the fool.
Exactly. So imagine if there was girls in the class. Now... Why did the police team forfeit? Of course, when this bit used to always make me laugh as a kid. Like,
so
one,
good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Bye. The animation gets really weird there, though.
Yeah, like the scale.
How small. Yeah.
It's like Barney, like, come on in. It's your master
bedroom. Like, I don't know. The hallway gets a little narrow here.
Something definitely wrong with this hallway.
There's too much electricity in this room, so you might want to wear a hat.
And yeah, and we have Homer on the phone just being so obnoxious. He's like, I gotta go, my damn wiener kids are listening.
Like, a slingshot doesn't fit in my pocket.
Now, I have a question. When it gets to the next scene, when... Burns is like, stop everything.
Stop everything.
I don't remember writing a letter for bowling. Like, that's your bowling, sir. Oh, yes. Very important. Love that. And his classic Simpsons gag there. Where, and then, straight away, stop everything.
And it zooms back in on him. Like,
yeah.
He's like, now, back to the checks.
Plus, I love the fact that Smithers opens the bookcase and immediately his computer is set up to link a Poppin' Fresh
with
entire staff of the nuclear power plant. Without him inputting anything, he just opened the shell.
Clicks it and it's like, it's either Pop Freshmeyer or Homer Simpson's error 1 in 44 billion. Yeah.
So clearly sparing no expense on the tech side.
Absolutely.
And then it made me think when they went back to the bowling alley, did Homer know about Jacques when he was playing him in, you know, against him? Does he know that Marge had a little entanglement?
Theory, yes, because Marge told him in that stupid clip show episode where she told him about the flirtation with Jacques. But he was like, I want you to stop seeing this guy, Jacques.
Yeah.
You know, let him down easy. But
oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah, it's like for the next, 3 months, and then it's over.
One of the only good jokes in that episode, I will say.
I agree. But so what is it exactly where Burns, what does Burns say where Smithers is like, I have a much uglier word for it, sir.
Misappropriation. enjoying their embezzlement.
Yeah. that's such a great line from Smithers as well. The fact that the camera zooms in, like, misappropriation.
He's like, when Homer's holding the ball, he's like, Simpson. And, like, the ball just goes flying out of his hand.
You just hear a crunch. And I love when Burns takes a shot and, like, he barely moves the ball. Just the noise of Burns' tongue as it unfurls on the ball as he's resting on it. And
I haven't felt this energized since my last bowling.
And speaking of noises, big fan of the noise of the kids blinking in unison. Mm. Where Smith is like, I love that sound. It's just that smack, that cold smack.
Some of the lines here, he's like, horseplay is down 40%. Youthful exuberance has been cut in half and high spirits are at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good writing.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah, I never even picked up on that at the time.
Yeah. Otto gets kicked off the team for Mr. Businessman. I get that respect once I get that Harvard diploma.
Harvard diploma, like.
Apparently, that's Harry Shearer's like least favorite voice.
I have actually heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was on.
Harry Shearer.
Yeah, go on.
He seems like a right asshole.
Is he?
Like, yeah. Think so.
Tell me why. I need to know why.
He's just like real...
full of himself?
Yeah, and also like he just seems real negative for a lot of the stuff that he's done in his career. Like, talks about how like SNL, they might be spitting the truth, but like he's like just like real negative out there. Like, real... I always hear like how he's like... And most people love Gilbert Gottfried for better or for worse. But he's like, he thinks he's a fucking asshole for, I don't know what. It just seems like, you know, he's that kind of like...
Gilbert Gottfried thinks he's a fucking asshole, or the other way around?
No, Harry Shearer. Oh, Harry Shearer. Right. Like, people have come on his podcast and told him, and he's like,
he said he thinks you're an asshole.
He called me a fucking asshole. And then, like, he just burst out laughing. Like,
I must listen to that, actually.
It's really, like...
Yeah.
Pick your guests. Like with any of these podcasts, you need to kind of pick your guests. Like, if you pick the Bob Saget episode, like, it's just going to be fucking low, really rude. Like, and it's really good. Yeah. Like, you know?
You had me at Bob Saget.
I was like, Joe Montana was on one. It was like, brilliant. They're talking about some old guy. He's like, I heard he hates the Jews. You know, that kind of stuff. But like then there'd be like some, like they always get like these kind of old style actors on or whatever. It's like,
no, go on, sorry.
No, it's just like, so sometimes it's like gentler, I guess, for lack of a better term. Like
the only one that I hear is, like, I heard a mad one with, I think it was like Penn Jillette it was on.
Yes, that's a great one.
And like, you said something about like Barack Obama, but you did some like impression that was like slightly on the racist side, and he kind of stopped himself, and Gilbert Godfrey started breaking his shit, and then he's like, you quoted President Obama as saying, and then he kept going all through the episode with different, like, as saying, die no mind. And I was like, okay now, all right. And he just wouldn't let it go. You quoted President Barack. It was so funny.
Yeah, and he really, like being a comedian, he will drill down.
He did, yeah. Completely.
Or keep coming back to it. The Penn one is a good one. Because they're like talking about like Jerry Lewis. And he's like, they're all talking about like how, like, everybody's like, oh, he's a fucking hack. You know, Lewis, he's past it or whatever. And because they all grew up on him, but they all loved him. Where he's like, he's a fucking asshole. And then Penn Jillette was like, I'm in the hallway saying this to people. And then he comes up and he's like, Penn Jillette. And he wags his finger at me. And I'm like, oh, Jerry, I love you. You're my hero. He's like, he has this fucking way about him. I crumpled into a puddle on the floor.
I could listen to him talk all day as well.
Yeah, Penn is very interesting. Like, because he directed that film, The Aristocrats.
I actually did know that, and I'm a big fan said film.
They talk about that. Very good movie.
Yeah, I love because it.
Because they always bring back that Gilbert Gottfried thing.
Yeah.
Of how, like, that's the most famous telling of that joke ever.
Yeah.
It was on one of the roasts, and he's like, he made a joke about, like, 9/11. And, like, people in the audience were, like, booing him. And then he's like, okay! A man walks into the talent agency and, like, doing, you know, the whole aristocrat joke. And he's like, what do you do? He's like, well, I fuck my son in the ass and my wife sucks off my son while I'm fucking him in my ass while my daughter's giving me a rip. And it's like on TV. And, like, I don't know if it's like Rob Schneider or David Spade or one of them was like falling out of the chair and laughing so much because he's just going to town on it.
Some of the laughs I've gotten, I mean, most of those roasts seem like they're kind of in bad taste nowadays, and they don't really actually know the person that they're roasting, and they really go hard to be memorable and, you know, so people remember the roast. But some of those ones back in the day gave me such big laughs, like, throughout the whole thing. It's one of the funniest things.
Because, like, if you go to the ones that were further back, like the roast of Jerry Stiller, I don't know if you've seen that one.
I don't think I did, actually.
It's like, and you get it on YouTube. It's very funny. Your man Jeff Ross, I think, had just started.
Oh right.
Like he's like Roastmaster General.
He is the Roastmaster.
Yeah, that's the thing. But like, he's a good episode on the Gilbert one. But he was talking about how who's your one? Sandra Bernhardt is like doing like a dance for Jerry Silla, and then like Jeff Ross is next up on the thing, and he's like, oh, Sandra Bernhardt, like, I wouldn't fuck you with B. Arthur's dick. And it cuts to like B. Arthur. And she's like wagging a finger at him. Like,
some of them are just like, oh my God.
But like, I remember watching the Justin Bieber one, and it was like, they're all really hard on him. And then at the end,
yeah,
he got to do this, like, well, I'm just a young guy learning. And I'm like, fuck off. Like, I know. You don't get to do like a PSA about yourself.
You could tell with that one that like Bieber was practically arranged it. Like, it seemed so like, you know,
you guys fucking go, you know, I'm going to be able to say I'm a good guy at the end. Exactly. But you guys can say whatever you want.
Your one, I always love to see your one, Natasha Leggero, on those roasts, because she always fucking kills it. Ruthless. Your man, what's your man's name who was in that? King of Long Island or Staten.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah. And he's like, but this isn't the roast of Pete Davidson's father. And it's like, that was 10 years ago, or whatever. Like, at 10 years after 9/11, which he died.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, like nothing is off the table here. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, listen, I'm gonna get us back on track here, Terry.
Sure.
It's the last Chalmers sort of gag where he's like, and with less than a minute to go before I leave, absolutely nothing has gone wrong. Like,
yeah.
I just love that setup every time with him. Like, I'm licking my lips to see what's coming next.
And he's then, like, well, Rain, I can hardly be blamed for that, guy.
Why are these clothes cauliflowers? And then just Milhouse's reaction is perfect, where he's like, I'm freaking out. And then
but everybody else, like, then like Jimbo, and even seeing Jimbo and like the guys in it was very like unnerving almost. Like,
I know.
Like, what?
And then like Martin in his underwear and down with uniforms,
which is so funny because he was so like proud looking when he was wearing a uniform earlier on.
Like, it's had the effect on him. It's like they've all been like doused with some sort of drug.
LSD.
Now, I have, my next note is, it's like, lol, Mo the scumbag with the knee attack on Burns. Oh,
so good.
Like, that's just the kind of character that Mo is as well. It's like, I got a feeling he's going to have a little accident tonight.
Yeah. And even they're like, take that.
There's three things about that joke. It's the take that, it's the noise of the hit, and then it's Burns going, doof.
Thank you, my stranger.
Brilliant.
And like the idea, then he's like, like, first of all, Mo is just like taking off his bandana.
He doesn't even try.
But then when he's like, he gives him the Pin Pals shirt.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Homer, you wanted to say something? He's like, you're off the team.
Yeah. And in fact, it's Mo who's jumping in.
No.
He was just, because
they all love the, they all love the shirt so much. I did like as well when Burns, he was like, here comes the friendship.
Yeah.
Like,
so gross.
I seem to have lost a nail. Well, that's leprosy for you. Like, one of the many ailments. Like,
so you're saying I'm invincible? Yeah. Oh no, even a slight breeze. Good. Then, so they end up winning the game because...
first of all, I love the idea of like when Burns rolls a ball, each one of the holy rollers gets a strike by the time his ball gets to the end and hits no pin.
And it just veers off.
Animation. But like, just the every time.
And you have, and then you have like Flanders like, hey, hey, hey. And they just keep sort of going like,
Homer's just like, oh.
So he finally gets it because Otto pulls a screw out of the vending machine and the two pins that Burns wobbled go down.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be uproar if that happened in real life.
But like, the animation is so good here, where it's like the last thing, and it's like the music and like the way the ball is like going on the side. It looks great. Yeah, like, it looks really big.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, like.
But now,
like, the two pins wobbling.
When it gets to Burns saying, It's like, you mean I won?
You mean I won.
It's like, oh, I'm afraid I've had one of my trademark changes of heart. Like, at this point, I'm thinking, just take it off him. Like, are you telling me that Mo wouldn't go for him? Like, he just walks off with it. Like, it's just him and Smithers.
He's a powerful man, you know. You don't want to get on the wrong side of him.
Yeah, just take it. Mo should have just grabbed it. That's what always bugged me about that. It's not like he had a gun. It's like, I'll be taking my trophy now. He just walks off with it. From frail old man who can't even bowl.
Yeah, you know? He's extra frail in this episode as well.
And then so you get the little final scene where they're trying to retrieve the trophy. And I love the fact, like,
go, Homer, you're our man.
So they've got the chance still going, and then when Homer can't climb up, I love their reactions, like, let's get out of here before they're done feeding.
I love classic. Homer's face when he's like running, and then he's like as in, like, really, okay, I'm going now, I'm gonna sprint. And I was like, yeah, just the idea of, like, they put that little bit of difference into it, like, definitely, you know, really good.
And look, that's and it then,
yeah, that's it, like, now I can't... Homer is dead by the dogs.
That's the end of the Simpsons.
Yeah,
excuse me, let me just fix my headphones here, Terry. Very unprofessional. Now, can we get into ratings, please?
We want you to tell us what you think, and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal. What did you think of it?
I liked it. It was a good episode. Would I say it's like near the top of my pile this year? No. I don't know why. It was one of those ones that didn't quite live up to my memory of it. Like... It's funny stuff in it, and I like a lot of the ideas going on in terms of, like, picking people from different parts of Springfield and putting them in the team and stuff like that. But I don't know. Just what I wasn't bowled over. Oh, if you pardon the pun.
Oh, Terry. Yeah. You keep making puns like that, I'm going to split. Huh?
Nah.
Strike one, I guess, huh?
That's baseball, you collard.
You pinhead.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's three for you. Come on. The silence after that
first one. Spare me.
Anyway. Let me get your MVP. Yeah, I don't know. Just saying.
MVP is going to be Chalmers.
Oh, nice. Good show.
I like them a lot. You know, it was good. And my rating is going to be a healthy, but not hearty, 8.6.
Oh, okay. 8.6, you say. Well, I tend to agree. I was actually going to say I wasn't bowled over by it, but it's been done literally 10 seconds ago. It didn't live up as much as I thought it was going to be. It was one of those ones on paper where I was like, fucking yes, great.
Yes, exactly.
And it didn't quite have it. And I don't know if it's the fact that I'm just really, like, if the story isn't there as much, I find I'm not as into it as I was as a kid. And it's more apparent as an adult when there's a good story and when there isn't. But I thought it was obviously very good. It is Team Homer, but it just didn't quite have the same staying power, should we say. My MVP is going to be Mo. I don't know why.
Could have called that.
And my rating, Terry, is going to be an 8.1.
Okay. So,
real stinkeroo by my last few ratings.
I've figured out what our highest rated one this year has been.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Bart Sells His Soul, I think, is our top.
You gave it a 9. I gave it a 9.4.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was my highest anyway.
Oh, what was my highest?
Your highest was last week's 9.3.
What was last week's?
I don't know.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
I don't know. Not 138 short films about Springfield. No. Marge Be Not Proud.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was picturing picturing the thumbnails on the podcast page. Anyway, Terry, listen, can we get our plugs in, please?
Sure. Where can the good folks out there in Radio Land find us?
Yeah, this is very important. You can find us on Twitter, and more importantly, dare I say, on Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. You can find links to everything we do on our Instagram bio. You can follow us on Twitter, as we said. You might get the occasional hilarious meme coming your way on your feed. And we post all the stuff about what's been going on with the show on that. Terry, what else can they do?
Well, you can trundle on over to patreon.com and you'll find us there and Put It In H Pod. Apparently we're creating podcasts. So if you subscribe for the low fee of $5 a month, you will get 4 podcasts a month. There, yes. You get 2 of our patented sister podcasts, What's So Great About, where we take a topic and we kind of dig in and see what makes it great, or if it is great even. So at the moment we're doing the MCU, and I think I've done a pretty okay job of convincing Andy What's So Great About It. Should have seen him when we started this, folks.
I was really, it was like I was brought into the asylum kicking and screaming. Kicking and screaming, please.
It stinks.
I suppose you could call everything we do on Patreon a What's So Great About episode, because it's kind
of... No, you could not.
Okay. Well, what else have we got?
Because sometimes in the other ones we're just doing a straight up review, like we're doing...
Yeah, What's So Great About It?
It's a different format. It's a different format. It's a different theme tune.
It is a different theme tune.
It's different everything, all right?
You can find our non-Simpsons.
Why are you muddying the waters here? We have plenty of non-Simpsons and non-Marvel stuff at the moment going on, where it's more of a jazz set.
I've crossed that boundary now, Terry. I'm just going to warn you for the next episode. I've crossed it into silly. It's the silly season, Terry.
Yes! All right. Excellent.
That last 10 seconds there, I felt it. Go on.
Well, look, you'll get 2 other bonus episodes every month as well. Like, we've done stuff on the Royal Rumble. We've done stuff on The Last Dance. We do stuff where I pick a certain genre of music and give Andy 6 songs on it, or he does it to me. So, like, we've got, like, you know, hair metal, heavy metal, movie music. Andy picked, you know, emo stuff for me. So, it's all just real kind of chatty.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
It's good stuff, though.
Yeah, it is.
But it's really good.
Yeah. We did the one on the Beatles, which was, you know, my favourite one. Our top 5 Beatles songs.
Yeah. I could have done a part 1 of 10. To be honest,
100%. We'll get back there one day.
I want to get back to emo as well. I want to give you some more select emo cuts. And then I was thinking. I don't know. Should I give you? Because I'm trying to think. What do I like that Terry doesn't like? And it's not that you don't like gangster rap, because I know that you do, but it's not something that we've ever really bonded over or discussed in any great detail.
No.
I'd be interested to get your take on some hard-hitting gangster rap at some point.
Send it my way.
I will, Terry. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's one for the new year.
What else can they do for us, Terry?
Well, look.
We're really asking a lot of them. It's like
if
0.5.
If you can't afford that $5 dues a month, I'll tell you what you do.
Take a good look at yourself, right?
For your old pal T-Bone, right? And T-Bone's hungry. He's finished eating his T-Bone steak.
Here it comes.
For dinner. We know what he needs.
What does he need?
He needs a side to go with that T-Bone steak.
Oh yeah? Side of what?
Okay. A side of stars, my friend.
Boom! You heard him there.
Five stars. I'll have 5 potatoes on one side and 5 stars on the other, please, because I need those 5 stars.
Oh, I need them
for sustenance. I need it for sustenance. Okay? So, and with those 5 stars, if you just leave a little...
Oh, no. I'm not... What is this?
The sweatier the better. Look, I just need 5-star reviews and a rating, just a review. Just give them to me, please. Like, I'm getting desperate.
Don't judge us on this.
It's a stressful time. Just give me the reviews and ratings.
Yeah, the man's had 17 COVID tests, for God's sake. Just give him some 5 stars.
I think we better wrap it up there.
Yeah, we're at risk of the wheels coming off this podcast, Terry. So I'm going to. I thought I just hung up on you there. Thank God. I'm going to say good.
Don't you fucking do.
Thank you very much to those of you listening still with us, and we'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.